Well, knowing that I was going to speak 2 weeks in a row, I sort of asked Barbara if I could kind of cop out on this, because I had an earlier talk that I had given to about two people who were here, and I also forgot to push the recorder button. So I thought, well, I can do that again, and this time I'll get it recorded. So I don't know why I record these things, by the way, but I just do. So I started toying with that and just trying to find some new things to it. And it was like I got this tap on the shoulder. And it was, and I get this sometimes when I'm writing things. I get this little tap, and it's like, no, don't go that way. Change your topic. And so what I was thinking about, as I always try to do, all of us try to do up here, is give out information that will be actually of benefit, actually that can help the listeners. And so I got a drastic change of course. Now, as part of that, I must say that I took little pieces from some earlier talks that I've given. So there may be points in this where you hear things and you say, I think I've heard him say that before. And that will be the case. But keep in mind that the pieces that I've taken from earlier talks are some of the best ones, some of my favorites, and things that I think that you never tire of hearing, and the benefits never wear off. So this is a kind of a surprise one to me as well. So I'd like to start with a little chapter from Luke. So in the Gospel of Luke, there's an incident that says a lot about the everyday sort of anxiety that afflicts each and every one of us. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her door to him. Martha had a sister called Mary. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations for the guest that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to come help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are actually needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" So what had Martha's sister chosen? Well, she decided to neglect the hospitalities and all the preparations simply to sit and listen to the valuable lessons that Jesus could teach her. And when it comes to anxiety and fear, Jesus of Nazareth had quite a bit to teach. We may think of the people of Galilee 2,000 years ago as having simple, uncomplicated, untroubled lives. Well, that was not the case. And this is why Jesus spoke directly about anxiety, worry, and fear during his beautiful Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, we hear Jesus say, and I'm sure some of these words will be very familiar to you, we hear Jesus say, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? See the birds of the sky, that they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of much more value than they?" A couple of verses later, Jesus adds, "Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, neither do they spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these." Then during his discourse to his followers, Jesus poses a pertinent question. "And who among you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" So whether we call it anxiety, worry, or fear, we know all too well the answer to the question Jesus posed during his sermon. We know that worry, anxiety, and fear can potentially subtract hours from our lives. Anxiety, worry, and fear have serious negative effects upon us. These effects are seen as well as unseen. For example, we know anxiety raises hormone levels to a toxic level that eventually can lead to stomach ulcers, strokes, and heart attacks. We know that anxiety lowers your immune system, making you susceptible to colds, infections, and far more serious illnesses. Worrying and anxiety can lead to depression, creating feelings that life is unfair and maybe not even worth living. Less visible, but altogether as harmful, are the effects on personal vibrations. The more sensitive you are, the more you actually feel when anxiety, worry, and fear are interfering with your personal vibration. You can feel when a personal problem is dominating your thoughts and putting you in anger or despair. You can sense when a news report about an event on the other side of the world is diminishing your energy. You know when the news or even gossip among your friends is lowering your vibration. You can feel that slump that occurs. These negative emotions block the flow of energy through our bodies, specifically our chakras, for those of you who believe in chakras, or our chi, our prana, our metabolism, whatever name you want to give to those energy flows that are so part of our mortal existence. Whatever you prefer to call this vital flow of energy, to have it lowered or blocked can lead to serious illness. On the level of our consciousness, however, the damage extends even farther. Anxiety, worry, and fear slow down the vibratory rate that surrounds us. These things damage our connection with the higher spiritual realms. They play havoc with other people who come into contact with us, bringing them down or agitating them and opening them to anxiety and depression. Vibration is directly tied to the law of attraction, and you can guess what this means. Suddenly, we're attracting even more anxiety, more stress, more worry and fear. One of my favorite spiritual writers is Ralph Waldo Trine, a philosopher of the early 20th century who wrote a marvelous book called In Tune with the Infinite, in which he tells this story. A man was traveling a road in Persia, and he met the plague on the same road. "Where are you going?" the man asked. "I'm going to Baghdad to kill 5,000 people," the plague told him. A few days later, the same man met the plague returning. "You told me you were going to Baghdad to kill 5,000 people," he said, "but instead you killed 50,000. "No," said the plague, "I only killed 5,000, just as I told you I would. The others died of fright." So here, Trine reminds us that through our anxious thinking and our worrying, we actually attract the very thing we fear. This is because our thoughts vibrate at rates based upon their content, some high, some low. And we know that like attracts like. So if we're worrying and our thoughts are vibrating at that worrying rate, other thoughts vibrating at that same rate are drawn to us. Trine put it this way: we invite what we fear, the same as, by a different attitude of mind, we invite and attract the influences and conditions we desire. The mind dominated by fear opens the door to the very conditions it fears. If you suffer from anxiety and fear, it's important to remember that some of your suffering is related to life on the earth plane, plain and simple, especially to the familiar adage of follow the money. For example, we know that watching or reading the news causes considerable worry and anxiety. We know that news stories about crime can create worry in people who live in relatively crime-free areas. News of disease can actually cause illness to break out. And we know that watching negative news has been proven to be physically addictive. It's tied to the rush of adrenaline released into our bloodstream, and adrenaline is addictive, so we go back to those programs and we keep watching them, and the ratings go up. When the ratings go up, the networks get more advertising dollars. It's a horrifying formula, but it's true. Large parts of our economy need fear and worry to function. It's been proven that frightened and insecure people buy plenty of things in hopes of feeling better or safer, while happy, satisfied, and content people buy a lot less. Pharmaceutical companies make billions of dollars a year selling, I reminded myself of Carl Sagan, billions and billions. They make billions of dollars a year selling drugs to help us subdue our worries, our fears, and our anxieties. Coincidentally, today, pharmaceutical companies are the largest contributors to congressional political campaigns, all part of making sure they can continue to sell their drugs unimpeded by new regulations. Follow the money. In fact, the negative effect of world troubles was addressed in a lecture Barbara's grandmother, Reverend Anita Rutter, channeled here at New Era in April of 1979. Her teacher that evening was a gentle spirit who goes by the name of Dr. Rose. "We see the old, old struggle of spirit over matter," Dr. Rose says, "of you listening to so many voices in your world, to so many, many opinions, of listening to the turmoil of the world. And the world is in a mess. But you do not know enough about the laws of God to see how it's all going and what is really happening. This is where you must have complete faith that protection, even if it takes thousands of years for certain conditions to be changed for the better." She continues speaking about the vibration of the world's troubles. "If you tune into that, then release it as quickly as possible, because you cannot help it. You cannot help it by going into those vibrations, by stressing and straining or even weeping. Releasing what you hear or read about world events is the only way you can help, because then your spirit will soar in love and you'll be saying, and you will mean it, 'Dear God, I know you are taking care of things, even if I can only see the mess the world is in.'" There are several names for this practice of releasing that Dr. Rose mentioned. Sometimes it's called surrendering, sometimes it's letting go. But whatever you call it, this basic tool shows up in many spiritual practices from established religious denominations to 12-step programs. The concept of releasing is explained very well by White Eagle, the leader of a brotherhood of spirit teachers who channeled their teachings to an English woman named Grace Cook in the mid-20th century. White Eagle says, "When thoughts of depression, fear, and anxiety creep on you, you say these are only natural and human. The truth is that you are picking up such thoughts because you attract them. You're like magnets. You draw to yourselves angels of creative light or angels of darkness and destruction. The angels of light come close to those who humbly and truly seek to serve the Great Spirit." Then White Eagle goes on to explain, "Remember what we have told you of the cause of disease and the source of all healing. Remember also that your habitual thoughts either create or destroy. Lack of harmony in your thoughts or in your life brings disease. Harmony brings health. Therefore, let go of all resentment, fear, and criticism. Hold only the positive thoughts of all good, of God, and the light will flow into you. When you concentrate upon negative things, you give them life. But if you cease to think about them, you withdraw life from them, and they gradually die. People say, 'Oh, but we don't want to turn our backs on reality. We must face it.' But, my children, reality is light. Reality is all that is positive, good, pure, and true. It is what you call evil that is unreal." Some of the best insights you'll ever hear about anxiety, worry, and fear are in the lectures Anita Rutter channeled from her main spirit teacher, who went by the name of Dr. Martin. Here's some of what Dr. Martin told a class here at New Era in October of 1979. "It is not necessary to worry. Worry keeps in the vibration the thing you fear. Oh, if we could only get that understanding through to the people on earth. It's like a wheel that is moving but going nowhere. The fear is in the vibration, and it goes around and around and around, and you cannot get rid of it because you worry. Dr. Martin offers the remedy, the same one he delivers in several other lectures, when he says, "Now, what to do is to turn it over to your Creator. Oh, some will say you're hard-hearted when you release a problem to God. They'll say you're cold. But you are not, not if you have turned to God, laid the problem before Him, and asked Him to guide you. For then the right thought will come to you about what to do. And that which you can do nothing about will be taken care of in God's time, and you'll be surprised at how it turns out." When we release our worries and fears to God, we must truly release them. Dr. Martin reassures us, quote, "If you have turned it over to God, you can be sure that something is going on that you do not know about. That is the truth. Something is being taken care of, and it's none of your business. It is now God's business." This is so important, he continues, because the minute when you look out to see what's happening, you stop the vibration. You've taken it back into your hands again. That's a real key point. You can release it to God, but when you start thinking about, well, wonder what's happening to it, wonder what's going on, boom, you've got it back. It's a boomerang. In another lecture, Dr. Martin further elaborates on how we can release our anxieties. But if we keep on worrying about how God is going to remedy them, the whole process is stalled. Speaking of our spirit guides and helpers, he says, "But with each one that we come to help through consultation about something that worries them, we hear this. When will the problem end? How long will it take?" And these thoughts keep beating in their minds, and spirit can do nothing to help them while this goes on. For God does not measure anything in time. That is for the earth. So what's Dr. Martin telling us here? He's reminding us that our tendency on the earth plane is to know exactly how something is going to work and when it's going to happen. And this only interferes with spirit trying to work on the situation. So here's his advice on keeping the problem from coming back into your vibration. He said, "If you concentrate too much on something you've asked spirit to help you with, you block the spiritual work. Why? Because this type of concentration is worry. Worry is negative, and that worry stops the thing you want from coming into manifestation for you. Releasing it, and that means releasing. Releasing does not mean to forget it for a few minutes or to forget it for a day, but to completely forget it. And the only way to forget it is to trust God and keep yourself very busy with other things for a while. Then, whatever it is you are concentrating on, you release this into the vibration, and there is no interference with God's work on it. This is the most difficult thing that anyone has to do in their everyday lives on the earth plane." So in conclusion, here's a few things to think about. Accept the fact that we are surrounded every day with things to potentially worry about, to get anxious over, to fear. We must turn these worries, anxieties, and fears over to God. And once we have done that, we must let God's invisible forces do their work. And we must trust that it is being done in God's way, in God's time. If we follow these teachings, our lives will take a far more beautiful and peaceful course. For this is faith in its deepest form. White Eagle speaks to this point precisely. He says, "A life controlled by positive and good thought, a life directed from the heart or from the Christ Spirit, is well-ordered, peaceful, harmonious, and happy. Nothing disturbs it. Gentle, beautiful, and harmonious order makes all things new, all things perfect. On the other hand, the life which is ungoverned, uncontrolled, unhappy, inharmonious, and chaotic comes under the domination of negative thoughts and destructive forces. When all your thought is directed by the Spirit, the Christ seed resting in your heart, when your thoughts are controlled and directed toward God, a natural prompting toward right action will always result. If the thought is right, the act will be right. Right action is God action. Think good and eschew evil and all negative things. Seek only for God, for good. Dr. Martin sums up the same sentiment with wonderful exuberance. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that you can release something. How wonderful it is to know that you can lean back mentally and know the problem is being taken care of. But perhaps Jesus said it best of all when he said, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." Blessings to you.